place a thousand fires burn, but only one flame will endure. The one that burns for you. You have made my heart your home. Loved me with a perfect love, but still I wonder, still I roam. God help me both you, till I'm really, truly, wholly yours. Death to life, stone. Place a thousand fires burn, but only one flame will endure. The one that burns for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, good morning, Ascend Church. Hallelujah. We came to bless God this morning. We invite you to stand with us as we lift up a shout of praise. Before any notes are played or sang, somebody shout out hallelujah and then play. Yeah. We bless you, Lord. Come on, put your hands together if you know he's good this morning. Come on.
Guys probably love this one. I do. Sing it with me. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me, and oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Come on.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am.
Oh, I
am who You say I am.
Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed.
I'm a child of
have any grateful people in the house? The food that's in your belly, the clothes that are on your back, the roof that is over your head is all because you have a loving and a kind Father. We're grateful. So let's show them this morning.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and You never do. So I throw up my hands and praise You again and again. 'Cause all that I have is hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Psalm 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits. He's healed our diseases. He saved our souls. He's crowned us with good things. He's renewed our youth as an eagle. So in spite of how we feel, let's think of those benefits. So come on, my soul. Let's declare to him how good he is, how worthy he is. Come on, everyone.
So come on, my soul.
Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of your lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah, so come on,
come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, don't say.
My soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord.
All that I have is a hallelujah,
hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lift up your song.
'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Hey.
Oh, don't you get shy. up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Church, you sing it.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get
with shy a loud voice.
Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Now let everything in this room that has breath praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh, don't you get shy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody sense an atmosphere change in this place? Because when you walk on this earth, says the Lord, and your feet are like feet of clay, but there's a part of you that belongs to another realm, says the Lord. There's a part of you that is not centered upon this earth. And when you begin to sing the song of angels, when you begin to sing your hallelujah, says the Lord, which is the song of the choirs of heaven, when you begin to join with the choir of heaven, says the Lord, you lift yourselves out of the realm of the natural and into the realm of the supernatural. And that is why you sense something take place in you that doesn't take place in you through any other activity. There's nothing that you do on this earth that can connect you with heaven like worship. There's nothing that can enter you into the courtyards of heaven like worship. And so lift up your hands in this place, says the Lord. Lift up your hands and make a connection. Make a connection right now. Make a connection right now. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we welcome your presence. We are so thankful to be your children. We're so thankful that you said that we can come with boldness into your presence. That we can come with boldness before you. Thank you, Father, for Lord Jesus, for opening, tearing that veil and opening the way for us to come into the presence of God. Father, we just welcome you in this place. I ask you to speak to every heart, speak to your people. Father, minister. Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Minister to each and every one. You know the needs of every person. I thank you, Lord, for touching hearts. I thank you, Father, for healing hurts. Thank you, Father, for renewing our minds. Thank you, Father, for chains of bondage falling off this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for spiritual renewal. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Such a presence of the Lord here this morning. Amen. Family, we're going to sing one more song, and as we do, we're going to have our prayer team come up to the front, and if you need prayer for anything in your life, there's something you just say. The Bible says, if any two agree as touching anything they ask, it'll be done for them of my Father in heaven. Also, when Jesus walked the earth, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, nothing has changed. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we're meant to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles that took place throughout the Bible because he's still present. He's still working. He's still a miracle worker. Amen. And so we make a space for him. We just open our lives to say, Lord, I don't see a way to get out of this. I don't see a way. The doctor says there is no way. The accountant says there is no way, but I know you have a way. And so if you have just an ounce of faith and you need prayer, just come on forward and we're going to pray and believe God with you. If you're not coming forward for prayer, just focus on the words. Forget about anyone around you. Long ago, I gave up my concern about my tuneless singing and I just sing anyway, right? I don't care. You don't care about my singing. You're thinking about your singing. So don't worry about us. Just worship the Lord with this last song. Amen. Those that are watching online, just switch off everything else and just focus right now on the words that we're singing. Sing them to the Lord. Amen.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out.
You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown.
You'll never be closer than you are right now, 'cause you are
Jireh. You are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
I will be
content in every circumstance.
You are
Jireh, you are enough.
Forever enough, always enough, He's more than enough.
Forever enough, You're always enough, He's more than enough.
I wanna forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side when the sun goes down.
I'll never forget how I feel right now. Jireh,
Jireh,
you are
enough.
I see that
Jireh,
you are
enough.
I will be
content
in every circumstance.
You are Jireh,
you are
enough.
Forever enough,
always enough, He's more than enough.
Somebody declare it.
Never enough, He's always enough, more than enough.
Oh, I'm already loved, I'm already chosen. I know who I am, and I know what You've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I can imagine,
and that is enough,
for me. Oh, oh.
I'm already loved,
already chosen.
I'm already chosen.
I know who I am.
I know who I am.
I
know what You've spoken.
I'm already loved.
More than I could imagine.
That is enough. dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor. How much more will he clothe? How much more will he clothe? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? If he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will he love you? How much more will he give you?
If he watches
over his sparrow, how much more will he love you? How much more does he love you?
Can ask or think or imagine.
He's
greater than
according to his power.
He is working in us.
It's more than he does.
It's more than you ask, think, or imagine. According to his power,
he's working in us.
Oh,
it's more than enough.
It's more than you ask, think, or imagine.
Even in this,
according to his power,
it's working in us.
Working in us.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than you ask, think, or imagine. According to his power, it's working in us. It's more than enough.
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 Cause you are.
You are Jireh, you are holy. God who sees.
You are enough.
You are enough. Your name's enough, it is, yeah. Oh, we declare you are, you are, you are.
You are enough.
Over sickness.
You are enough.
Over famine.
Jireh, you are enough.
Over war. You are.
Jireh, you are enough.
Trouble in our family.
Jireh,
you are enough. I know you are.
Jireh,
I know you are.
Enough.
I know you are.
Jireh,
I know that
you
I know.
Are enough.
I know you are. You are.
Jireh, you are enough.
Oh, so I will be.
Jireh, you are enough.
Now, if you know that's true in this place, and if you've seen the hand of God move in your life on your behalf, when there was no way, like Pastor Jill said, when there was no way, he made a way. If you've seen him move and work in your life, somebody give him a shout of praise in this room. Yes!
You are enough. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord, our provider. You are more than enough. We thank you, Lord, that we never have to worry. We never have to be anxious. We never have to be fearful, for you are always with us. You protect us. You provide for us. Lord, we worship you today. We're so glad to be in your house, gathered with the family of God in your presence, Lord, worshiping you, receiving from you. Lord, we thank you today for everything that shall be done. We thank you for speaking to us today, for touching every life today, for ministering to every person here in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to jump up here real fast and just tell the worship team what a great job they did. Just don't get down yet. Hold on a sec. They did such a great job today. You were on today, man. And we got Callie over there on the keyboard, David on guitar, Abel on bass, Muff on drums. We got Gwen and Leslie, Monique Bronson, and Hannah. Give them a big round of applause. They did a great job today. Amen. Praise God.
Awesome. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Just greet somebody. Some of you have been seated already, but just turn around and say hi. Wonderful. Wonderful to have you in church this morning, worshiping with us. You know what I love about our worship team is that whenever we have a conversation with them, it's not about playing music, it's about worship to them. And I love that, you know. It's just beautiful. But welcome to everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. To those that are watching online, welcome. We're glad you're joining us online today. You know, with the way things have been throughout the pandemic, you know, there was a great expansion of online ministry. And even though I would never substitute online church for in-person church, we are glad you've joined us. It just extends our reach. And if you, there are many people that watch regularly online, we're glad that you're part of our church. Let us know where you're watching from. Let us know, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us, share the live link on Facebook. We're glad you're joining us today. Comment, let us know where you're watching from. Let us know your comments on the service, and we pray you get everything out of this that you need today. Amen. Got to remember people who are not in the room and yet are part of the service. Amen. So just want to welcome you all, especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. If you're here for the first time, we just like to hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. Don't want to embarrass you in any way, but if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? Let's welcome them. God bless. Come on, let's make it sound like you mean it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Love having visitors in our church. Thank you for being here. Maybe you came to see someone get baptized. You know, people come for, it's always interesting to hear how people come to church. Sometimes you think you just decide to go somewhere, and yet when you look back on it, you say, gee, the Lord was actually directing me. And so I pray you get what you need out of the service today. In that visitor pack's a couple of things. One is a card that says guest, and there should be a card in the seat in front of you that says guest. Just fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that in. And then there's a card in there that tells you more about our service. It tells you about our purpose, our four main purposes of our church. The first one is that we want to help each and every one of you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose.
and to make a difference. And I don't know, Pastor Steve, if you were going to mention it, but we were in Connect Group this week. And I tell you, there's nothing that blesses me more than hearing people's individual stories. Because, you know, we've all got a story, right? And none of us have arrived. We're all on a journey. And we're on a journey together. And so we're finding freedom in areas of our life. And we're coming to know the Lord more in areas of our life. And we're discovering our purpose. So that's what this church is all about. And before we're going to pass a register by. Our regular members, won't you just fill that out? Let us know that you were here. It really helps. Pastor Steve likes to be aware of anyone that's not here so that he can, maybe your message today will explain that more, right? And I noticed when I came in, there was an envelope on the seat. Thanks for the reminder, Mo. I better start, go buy a gift, right? Pastor Steve has a birthday on Friday, and as a church, we always like to honor our pastor, right? He always, we're the same age, save for a month. I'm a month behind him. And he always, when people ask our age, he always says the year ahead. I'm like, don't get older before your time, right? Friday, your age changes, not before that, right? But anyway, I saw a cake out in the lobby, so we're going to have a cake afterwards. We want to celebrate with you. And there's a little card inside you. You know, on Wednesday night at Connect Group, different people were saying just what the church has meant to them and the teaching and what have you. And it really blessed us. So if there's something you want to say, you want to just put a little message in there as a birthday blessing to Pastor Steve, please go ahead and do that. If you want to give him something for his birthday, you're welcome to. No pressure, but if you'd like to, go ahead and do that. You can also do that online.
We're going to sing. We ask that you join with us and sing happy birthday to our pastor. All right, here we go. Ready and go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Monique. It's great to be here today. Great to see you today. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you're here this morning. Tell him it's good to see you. You're looking great. This is a good-looking church, if you didn't know that. I mean, good-looking people in this church, right? On the inside and on the outside. So praise God. Are you ready for God's Word this morning? I want to welcome everyone who's joined us online today, wherever you may be watching from, on Facebook or YouTube or our website, our mobile app. We're so glad that you joined us today. Today, I want to speak about go after the prodigals. Last Sunday, I spoke about go after the lost. And today, I want to speak about go after the prodigals. And the word prodigal, kind of, you know, we get from the story of the prodigal son, although the Bible never calls him the prodigal son, but the word prodigal means one who returns after an absence. That's what a prodigal is, someone who returns after an absence. And we all know people who used to be strong in faith, and they used to be in church, excited about the Lord. You'd see them week after week serving, helping others, but somewhere along the way, they got off course. They had a disappointment, maybe a sickness, maybe a divorce, maybe during this whole pandemic, they got discouraged. Maybe they just made some poor choices, and now they feel guilty, they feel condemned, they feel like they don't really belong. But the book of James, it talks about how we must go after the prodigals. We must go after people who have fallen away or wandered away. In James chapter 5, verse 19, God's word says, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth. Does anyone know anyone who's wandered off? They used to be here. You don't see them anymore. Wave your hand at me. If you know any, you got to know at least one person. I know tons of them. It says, don't write them off. Go after them. Say, go after them. Get them back. Go after them. Get them back. And you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. The Bible says if you know someone who's wandered from the truth, don't write them off. Go after them and you will have rescued someone from destruction. The Passion Bible says, as members of God's beloved family, we must go after the one who wanders from the truth and bring them back. For the one who restores the sinning believer. The Bible says that when someone wanders off from God's truth, the Bible calls them a sinning believer. The one who restores the sinning believer back to God from the error of his way gives back to his soul life from the dead and covers over countless sins by their demonstration of love. If there was ever a time that we needed as a church to go after prodigals, it's now. Because so many believers stopped attending church during this whole pandemic. Some churches were closed for over a year. When you don't go to church for a year, you get completely out of the habit of going to church. And God wants us to go after those people. It's not enough to just think, well, you know, I wish they were here, man. I sure miss them. I wonder where they are right now. No, we've got to be proactive. God's counting on you to go get that person, to pick up the phone and call them, send them a note, stop by their house, reach out to them in some way. We have a responsibility to bring these people back. Now, you don't have to tell them what they're doing wrong. Don't condemn them. Just tell them three simple things. We miss you. We need you. We love you. We miss you. We need you. We love you. Let me tell you, love heals. Love restores. When people know that you care, the fact that you took time to express your concern, that's what draws prodigals home. Last week, I felt prompted of the Lord to call a particular person. Now, I do this all the time. I mean, that's my job, going after people. You know, one thing, I've got to win people to the Lord. We want to get new people, but then I've got to go after the ones that drift away. I'm a pastor. And last week I felt prompted of the Lord to call a particular person who hadn't been to church in a while. This person had been a leader in our church, had led a connect group in our church. And when I called, she was so pleased to hear from me. She said she had felt bad to come back. She wondered what people would think about her. I told her, that's the voice of the enemy. I told her, you know what? Everyone will be so happy to see you again. And last Sunday, she was in church. It was great to see her. Jill and I attended Mark and Stacy's Connect group on Monday night. We had such a great time. Let me tell you, if you're not in a connect group, you truly don't know what you're missing. We left there feeling so encouraged, feeling so lifted up. It was so good to hear people's stories, to hear people's testimonies. And you know, Joshua back there, he was telling how that he started attending our church about 7 years ago when we were on Center Street. And then he stopped coming. Now, Joshua, God's done a miracle in his life. And he said that I continued to text him every week for 3 months. I kept on texting him every week, every week, every week, every week. Anyone ever got a text from me? Wave your hand if you ever got a text from me. I kept on texting him every week. And then finally one day, I felt prompted of the Lord and I called him. And he told me he was going through a tough time. He'd been delivered from alcohol addiction and he'd had a bit of a relapse. And I said to him, why don't you come over to my house? Come over to my house. And he came to my house and we spoke. I encouraged him. We prayed together. And he was back in church the next week. And Joshua has been sober for 6 years now. And praise God, Joshua. And not only that, but Joshua has brought so many people to church. I mean, he brought people last week. I think he brought people today. He brings people. He's a real evangelist. He brings and invites people all the time. I remember someone that I was friends with when I was a teenager. His name was Richard. We were good friends. He used to date my sister for a little while. And he used to attend Christian Family Church in Johannesburg. But we lost touch over the years, and we moved to Cape Town and then here to the United States. And I found out through Facebook that he was very sick. So I sent him a message on Facebook to encourage him. And I arranged that the next time I would be in South Africa, that I would meet with him. And he came to one of the places I was preaching. I preached all over South Africa, and he came to one of the services, and I was able to talk to him and encourage him. And all it took was one message on Facebook. Now, I've learned you can't help everybody, but you can help somebody. God puts people in our path on purpose. And what would happen if we all took the time to reach out to a prodigal this week? The person that you used to play basketball with, or the person who used to sit next to you in church. They used to serve on your team with you. They used to greet you when you came into the church. Now they're nowhere to be found. Maybe they're discouraged. They're struggling. Life's trying to push them down. All they need is you to reach out to them and say, hey, we miss you. We need you. We love you. It's amazing what that does for people. When they know you care, it lights a new fire on the inside of them. Amen. The closest thing to the heart of God is helping hurting people. Do you know that? When you take an interest in someone who's fallen away, someone who's struggling, they've lost their sense of purpose. When you take an interest and you reach out to them, I can assure you, God will take an interest in you. And God will make sure that you're taken care of. Amen? Amen. In Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 10, the scripture says, feed the hungry, help those in trouble, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as day, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you with good things and keep you healthy too. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. The Bible says when you help those in trouble, God's going to guide you. God's going to provide for you. God's going to take care of you. Can you say amen? Amen? The most important thing in life is not our accomplishments. It is not how successful we are. It's not how many people know our name. The most important thing in life is helping other people. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 31, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered in His presence. And He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left hand. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me to your home. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. The righteous ones will say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? When did we ever see you thirsty, give you something to drink? A stranger show you hospitality, naked, give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You were doing it to me. And then the king will turn to those on the left and he will say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. You don't want to hear that. I want to be on the right. For I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me to your home. I was naked, you didn't give me any clothing. I was sick in prison and you didn't visit me. And then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Don't tell me that what we do is not important to the Lord. This evidently matters a lot to God. Jesus said, if a person causes someone to stumble and fall away, it would have been better for that person who caused it to have never been born. Jesus used very strong language. In Matthew 18:6, he said, if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus, I mean, I don't know if people today could handle Jesus preaching. They got this idea Jesus was all meek and mild and all. Jesus was, he preached strong. But let me tell you, the opposite of that is true as well. When you restore the fallen, when you go after the prodigals, when you help them get back on the right path, there's nothing more pleasing to God. Let me tell you, you can read the Bible 20 hours a day and quote every scripture in the New Testament, but when you reach out to one of God's children and you help get them back on the right path, there is nothing that God won't do for you. Amen? I like to think, you know, I this is the way I think as a father. I'm a father and I have 4 children. I have 8 grandchildren. And if you help me in my time of need, I'll be grateful. I'll do my best to pay you back. But if you help one of my kids in their time of need, if you help lift them out of despair, if you rescue them from harm, if you steer them down the right path, let me tell you, there's nothing I won't do for you. You be my friend for life. Because that's how God feels when we help one of his kids. In Matthew 18, verse 12, Jesus said, let me ask you this. What would you do if you had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off? Wouldn't you leave the 99 on the hillside and go look for the one that had wandered away? I'm sure that finding it would make you happier than having the 99 that never wandered off. That's how it is with your Father in heaven. He doesn't want any of these little ones to be lost. The Passion Bible said, it is never the desire of your Heavenly Father that a single one of these humble believers should be lost. You see, a believer can be lost. A believer can go off the path. That's why we've got to reach out to prodigals and reach out to people who don't know the Lord. God doesn't want any believers to be lost. This tells me we should be looking not necessarily at who's in church every week, but who's not here. I can see the 99. I celebrate you all. I'm so glad you're here. But part of my focus is, where's the missing one? Who haven't I seen in a few weeks? Who's fallen away? It's not enough just to come to church and hang out with your friends and celebrate God's goodness. We have an assignment. We have to leave the 99 and go after that one lost sheep and bring them back in. Can you say amen? Amen. That means, man, you got to call them. You got to stop by their house sometime. Invite them to dinner. See what's going on. You got to be willing to be inconvenienced, to make sacrifices. You're looking for that one lost sheep. Amen. It's great when your friends and your family are happy and healthy and, you know, celebrate that. But at the same time, be aware of who's not here, who's discouraged, who's struggling, who's headed down the wrong path, who's dropped out. That's when we've got to kick it into high gear and go after the one. Every one of us should be pastoring our own group. There should be 10 or 15 people that you see here weekly. They sit near you. They serve on your team. They check your children in at kids' church every Sunday. That's your congregation. That's the people God put in your life. You got to watch after them. Got to be aware when they're not here. Notice when they're discouraged. If you haven't seen them in a few weeks, don't just think, well, I hope Pastor Steve checks up on them. I hope the church follows up on them. Let me give you a news flash. You are the church. You are the church. They're part of your flock. You've got to reach out to them, call them, find them on Facebook. I've tracked people down when I can't find their number. I'll find them on Facebook. Man, I should have been a private investigator. Send them an email. God's counting on you to bring that sheep back into the fold. I can't bring in your sheep. I don't have the relationship one-on-one like the way you do with them. You can't bring in my sheep. God's counting on each one of us to watch after our own flock. I read about a man named Mr. Kimball. Mr. Kimball. He taught Sunday school. He was a very successful, very influential businessman back in the 1800s. And he taught junior high boys in a small church. He taught the Sunday school class. And one day he noticed that one of his 11-year-old students hadn't been to class for several weeks. And he was concerned. So the next day after work, he searched the streets of Boston. And finally, after a few leads, he found the boy's home. He knocked on the door and he told the parents who he was. And they said that their son was across town. He was working at a shoe store with his uncle. And so Mr. Kimball took the long ride across town, found the shoe store. When he walked in, the little boy saw him. He was so surprised to see his Sunday school teacher walking into the place he was working. He's 11 years old. He thought it was a coincidence. He thought that he must need shoe repair. Mr. Kimball told him that no, he was concerned about him. And he said, "Where you been? Are you okay? I've been missing you. Is there anything you need? Is there anything I can do?" The little boy was so surprised. He said, "No, I just stopped coming to class. I didn't think it mattered that much. I didn't think you even knew my name. I certainly didn't think you'd miss me." Mr. Kimball looked him in the eyes and said, "Young man, it does matter. I need you. You're an important part of my class." That young boy never missed another Sunday school class. He went on to become one of the most influential ministers of the 1800s. His name was D.L. Moody. He touched his generation in an amazing way. He was a revivalist. He preached to crowds of 20,000 people across America in the 1800s, across Europe. He built the Moody Church in Chicago in 1924. It seated 3,750 people. It was almost unheard of in those days. And that church still exists. I don't know if any of you have been to that church, any of you from Chicago. the Moody Church. It can all be traced back to Mr. Kimball. Because if Mr. Kimball had not gone after that prodigal, if he'd been too busy, or if he just celebrated the other boys in his class, not aware of who wasn't there, then I doubt that D.L. Moody would have touched the world like he did. Here's the question today. Who are we missing? Who is not here who used to be here? Or who is not here that should be here? A family member? A friend? A co-worker? Some people have not just dropped out of church, they've dropped out of life. And God, you know, I want us to have a new passion to go after the lost, to go after the prodigals. There are prodigals all over. I meet them all the time. I go to restaurants. When it's just the two of us, Jill and I, we often like to go to happy hour. And we like to sit at the bar. If you ever see me sitting at the bar at happy hour, don't go out and start talking, I saw Pastor Steve sitting at... That's what some of my greatest evangelism work is done at the bars. Because invariably I'll have someone, I can't tell you how many times, countless times, people sit next to me, start talking to them, and the next thing, the door opens, and I'm ministering to them, I'm encouraging them. Maybe they're a prodigal. Let me tell you, I'm on a mission from God. If you're a prodigal, you better watch out, because I've got you in my sights. I'm going to call you, I'm going to text you, I'm going to email you, I'm going to visit you, I'm going to pray, I'm going to believe, I'm going to encourage. I'm not going to leave you alone till you come back home. Amen. Because I sure like to think that if I ever got discouraged, I'd like to believe you'd come after me. Why? We miss you. We need you. We love you. Show concern for the people in your life, not just your family and friends, but your co-workers. At the office, the receptionist seems discouraged. Reach out to her. At the grocery store that you frequent, the cashier there, you know, maybe she's not there one day. Ask them, are they okay? Is everything okay with that person? When people know they are missed, they are needed, they are appreciated, it makes what they're going through so much easier. And often, you know, we don't recognize who God has put in our life. Some people like that 11-year-old D.L. Moody, they're going to be world changers. They're going to be history makers. There's no telling. Amen. But right now, they may be off course. They may be discouraged. They may have lost their sense of purpose. You can be the Mr. Kimball in their life. Some say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't want to get involved in their business. If I call them, they may be embarrassed. Maybe they'll get offended. They might even get mad at me. No, understand, they are your business. We have a responsibility to help bring them back. The people who've fallen away, don't leave them alone. They may not respond the first time. They may not respond the second time. They may not respond the 10th time. Who was telling us at Connect Group? Nick. Nick Piccarelli was telling us, we were at Connect Group, that every time he dropped his kids at school, bless his heart, he wanted his kids to feel good about themselves. So he let them take the car, and he would go drive on the bicycle, his bicycle, to pick them up. Because he wanted his kids not to feel good and have a car, so he'd ride the bicycle. And he'd go pick up the car, something like that. And every day that he went to the school, he would see Tony Carretta. Because Tony worked at the school, and he was driving his golf cart. And every time, move on for me, Michelle, every time that Nick saw Tony, Tony would invite Nick to church. How many times did Tony invite you to church? 10, 12 times he invited you to church. And eventually Nick and Deanne responded and came to church. And now they've been part of our church family for many years now. Imagine if you'd given up. Imagine you invited them once and you're like, well, I guess they're not interested. No, you just kept on inviting them. Don't give up on people. Right now, the soil of their heart may be rocky and hard. Maybe it seems like they won't listen to you. Seems like they're not receiving it. Seems like it goes in one ear and out the other ear. The more you talk to them, seems like the worse they get. But here's the good news. The seed that you are planting of God's word is alive and it will never die. The other day on the news I saw they found a seed that was 30,000 years old and it was still alive. The only thing that kept it from growing, it had never been planted in the right soil. In 1 Peter 1 verse 23, the Bible says, "For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but it will live and grow inside of you forever." Do you know that God's word will never lose any power and it'll never be destroyed? And when you keep on planting the seed of God's word, at some point that seed will begin to germinate and God will begin to change their heart. The seeds you've planted will begin to bear fruit in their life. What am I saying? I'm saying you are never wasting time by going after a prodigal, because the seeds are going in. The seed of God's word will not return void. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, it says, "It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Do you know that the word of God is alive? And the word of God is powerful. Do you know that our job really is to simply share the word of God with people? Because that's the seed that goes in their heart, and it never dies. It's great to come to church every week and enjoy God's word and celebrate together. That's important. It's important to do that. But our real work begins when we dismiss the service today. When we go out of church, that's when we go find the lost. Go find the prodigals, those who've gone astray, those who're struggling, maybe with addictions, those who feel like they've made too many mistakes. They feel like they wouldn't be welcome. "Oh, I don't know if I should step foot in your church, you know, the lightning." But you know how many times I heard that? Listen, if I'm here, man, you got a right to be here. You welcome here. Make an effort to bring somebody back into the fold. I'm not just talking about people from this church. There are prodigals everywhere. It's easy to think, "Oh man, it's their own fault. They made the mess. I try to warn them, man. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I told them they shouldn't do that." Galatians 6 verse 1. It says, "If a man or a woman is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now, I like to read that from the Living Bible. It says, "Dear brothers, if a Christian is overcome by some sin," talking about Christians now, "you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, remembering that next time it might be one of you who's in the wrong. Share each other's troubles and problems and so obey our Lord's command. If anyone thinks he's too great to stoop to this, he's fooling himself. He's really a nobody." The Message Bible says, "If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for this, you are badly deceived." In other words, this is something that we all should be aware of. When someone falls, someone goes, wanders off the path, we should lovingly, humbly, gently restore them, realizing, hey, it might be me the next time that needs to be restored. Don't have a holier than thou attitude. What's wrong with you? You grew up in church. You should know better than this. Our God restores people. We're not supposed to condemn and belittle people or make a spectacle of people. That just drives them further away. The Bible says gently restore people. Amen. That means, hey, man, I know you've had some setbacks, but God's mercy is bigger than any mistake. Amen. God wants to give you a new beginning. Why don't you come back home? It's not the same without you. That's what's going to draw people back. In Romans 2 verse 4, the Bible says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? You see, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Today, there's too many people that have a wrong concept of God. They've made mistakes, they've gone astray, and now they think God's mad at them. He's just waiting to punish them. They live guilty, condemned. The last place they want to go is church because they think they're just going to feel worse. The problem is they've heard all about the judgment of God, but they haven't heard much about the goodness of God. In the Old Testament, God did get angry with people at certain times, but the good news is we live under the New Testament. And because of what Jesus has done, God isn't mad at us anymore. I love what we sang, the song we sang today. God will never love you any more than he does right now. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. It's the goodness of God that brings people and draws people to him. In the natural, it may look like that person's never going to change. They're so far off and they don't seem receptive. It seems like you're wasting your time. But you know, God knows how to soften the soil of the heart. And you don't have to condemn them. Love is what never fails, the Bible says. You just sow the seed of God's word. We miss you. We need you. We love you. And let God do the work in their heart. That's what happens when you reach out to a prodigal. God goes to work. God begins to deal with them. When you start praying for them and reaching out to them. Sometimes we think it's our job to convict people. We think we're supposed to make people feel bad. Don't you know what a sinner you are? Don't you know where you're headed? Some people think we're supposed to scare the hell out of people. But our job is not to convict people. Our job is to love people, to sow the seed of God's word. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people. Do you know the word gospel literally means good news? Do you know our message is you may have made mistakes, but the good news is God has mercy. You may have fallen off course, but the good news is God is waiting with open arms to receive you back. Amen? We see this in the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. A man had two sons, the younger one, asked for his inheritance, then he left home and he wasted his inheritance with wild living. The Bible says he went and partied. The Bible even says he went with prostitutes. He wasted all his money. His money ran out. A famine hit the land. He ended up working on a farm feeding pigs, but the pigs ate better than he did. Finally, the Bible says he came to his senses. See, anyone that goes away from the Lord, they're not in their right mind. You got to be deceived. You got to be not thinking straight. To say, I'm going to get off this path that's leading to eternal life in heaven and untold glory, and I'm going to go back and get on the highway I was on going to hell. You can't be thinking straight. Finally, he came to his senses. He said, man, at home, even the servants eat better than me, and they've got food to spare. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to ask forgiveness, and I'm going to ask if I can just be a servant in my father's house. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, it says, so the young son set off for home, and from a long distance away, his father saw him coming. You know why he saw him coming? Because he was out there every day looking for him. That's why. He saw him coming. He was dressed as a beggar. And great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. The father raced out to meet him, swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. The son said, "Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be." And the father interrupted him, didn't even let him finish the sentence. Said, "Son, you're home now." And turning to his servants, the father said, "Quick, bring out the best robe, my very own robe. I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship. I'll put it on his finger. Bring out the best shoes you can find for my son." He said, "Let's prepare a great feast. Let's celebrate. For my beloved son was once dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found." And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Now, I love, it's one of my favorite parables because it displays the heart of the Father. This is what God is like. The Father was waiting for him. He didn't condemn him. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. Amen? You might have had a setback, but the good news is God can turn it into a setup to do something greater. When you go after the prodigals, you got to remember it's good news that we have. We don't be angry or harsh or judgmental or condemning toward them. No, have a smile on your face. Be kind, loving, forgiving, merciful. You're sharing good news. That's what our Father is like. It's amazing what happens when people know they're needed. They know they're missed. They know that they're loved. Just one phone call, one visit, one text could bring them back into the fold. It may seem insignificant to you, but when people know you care, it brings new hope into their spirit. I'm asking you today, and the Lord is asking you today, to go after the prodigals. Who's not here who should be? Family member, co-worker, someone who's gone astray. Leave the 99. The Bible says, go after the one. Amen? There are people who just need one phone call, just to know you're concerned about them. God will use your act of love to ignite something on the inside of them. What would happen if next week every single one of us reached out to someone who used to attend church and we brought them back to church? I mean, we can touch our community in a greater way when we all are reaching out to lost people, reaching out to prodigals. Amen? I mean, look around at the people close to you. That's your congregation. That's the flock God's put you in charge of. Watch over them. When they're not here, don't just say, "Well, I sure miss them." When you invite someone to come to church and they maybe receive the Lord, to disciple them, you've got to continue to watch over them. Amen? Find out where they are. As you help others stay on the right course, God is going to make sure that you and your family will fulfill your destiny. He's going to guide you continually. He's going to provide for you. He's going to keep you healthy. That's what the scripture says in Isaiah. Amen? Do you receive this today? Say this with me. Say, "Father." Everyone say, "Father, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus. And Father, I thank you. You've called me to reach out to lost people, to reach out to prodigals. Lord, today I receive your word. I will do it. I will do it, Lord. I will reach out to those who are wandering off the path, and I will gently, humbly, lovingly restore them. Talk about your goodness. In the name of Jesus, say, Lord, I am available. Use me, Lord. Send me, Lord. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. And I will say what you want me to say. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen." I want you to bow your head for a moment, if you would. Father, I just thank you today that you are so loving. You care about us so much, Lord. Like the the parable Jesus told of the prodigal son, Lord, that tells us what you are like. And we want to thank you, Lord, for loving us so much, for caring about us so much, for sending your son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to take our sin, to take our punishment, take our judgment, to redeem us. Lord, we're so grateful and we're so thankful. I want to pray today, if there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. The Bible says the demons believe in God and tremble. What I am asking you is if you were to die today, can you say you know for certain that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can leave here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. And you can know that every sin and every mistake that you ever committed is forgiven and is washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while heads are bowed and while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're going to pray, I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you quickly, please, right now, just slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up, raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right. Look at me for a moment. Praise God. I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come with you today. I want to encourage everyone to invite someone next week. Right after service today, we are going to be having water baptism. We're going right out into water baptism. We've got a number of people getting baptized. Wave your hand if you're getting baptized today. All those getting baptized, wave your hand at me. Praise God. Now, I want to just share those couple of scriptures. Just stay right there, babe. There's a couple of scriptures I want to share with you. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we ought to repent and we ought to be baptized. And then finally, I want to read Romans chapter 6, two verses, verse 4 and 5. It says, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Now, water baptism is like attending your own spiritual funeral service because it's about burying the past. The Bible says if anyone receives Jesus in their life, they become a brand new person. They become a brand new creation. The old things pass away and everything becomes new. And when you get baptized, what you're doing is you are identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That just like Jesus died without sin and he rose from the dead when he conquered sin, when we get baptized, we are identifying that our past life has been, our past life is gone. The old life has passed away. We buried the old man and we come up out of that water to live a brand new life for God, for Jesus. There's something that happens at water baptism. You know, I was christened when I was a baby, as maybe many of you were. That's not baptism. There's nowhere in the Bible, not one single place, where they ever baptized babies. There's no purpose. Because a baby is born innocent and alive unto God. And if something happened to a baby, that baby goes straight to heaven. Babies that are aborted, they grow up in heaven. Do you know that? Babies go straight to heaven. There's no reason to baptize a baby. What we do with babies is we dedicate them to the Lord, because Jesus laid his hands on children and he blessed them. So we dedicate our children to the Lord. But baptism, the Bible says you have to repent and then get baptized. A baby can't repent for anything. Baby hasn't done anything wrong. So this is talking about when you reach an age where you understand right from wrong and you choose to follow Jesus, now you're ready to be baptized. Now, we baptize children. We're going to be baptizing some children today, because if they understand what they're doing, then you're ready for baptism. Amen? So right after service, I want to invite you. Please join us. Bring your birthday cake out there. Get a piece of birthday cake and come out there and watch our brothers and sisters get baptized and cheer them on and get excited for them. This is a special day. Come and support them. We're going to video the baptism. We're going to take pictures of the baptism. And so that's an exciting time. Amen.
While you're talking about that, there's a few cars that are parked right by the baptismal pool.
Maybe we could just move those two cars.
That would be great, just as soon as I'm finished. Great message. Anybody feel convicted? I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me. I'm writing a few names down of people that the Lord puts on my heart. Just do that. Somebody, God put someone in your heart.
That's good, just, Jill. People just sitting here today and the Lord's telling you that name.
Somebody. Just reach out. You'll help someone. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. And there's various ways you can give. We try and make it as easy as we can. I like to just read a scripture to let you know that what you're doing is scriptural. That's what matters, is that it's scriptural. But there's various ways to give. It's up on the screen. Just really simple and straightforward. If it's the first time that you give online, you'll go through a few prompts and set a password. But after that, it's just, I tithed before I came to church this morning. And it's just a click, saved login, put the amount in, click, and it's through. So I like that it's secure. But I want to read a scripture from that Jesus was talking to his followers, and he said this. He said in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, I liked when Pastor Steve was talking about the seed going into the ground and producing, because, you know, what Jesus was telling his followers was a theme or a principle that runs throughout the whole Bible. And that's the principle of seed time and harvest. We see it right from in Genesis. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. So as long as the earth's around, there's seed time and harvest. It always works like that. Cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Now, seed time is when we give, but the Bible says whenever you give, attached to it is a harvest. So whenever you sow a seed, what you're actually doing is you're scheduling a harvest in your future. Amen? And let me tell you, a harvest is always bigger than the seed that you sowed. It's a principle. We know it in the natural, but Jesus applied it to financial as well. Amen? So as you give today, we are trusting God with you. And in fact, we don't even have to trust God with you, because you are applying a principle. You are sowing a seed. And you know when the last thing to grow is the fruit. So if you haven't seen your harvest yet, doesn't mean your seed's not growing. Doesn't mean your harvest's not coming. You just keep saying, "Thank you, Lord, as I sow, I will reap a harvest." Amen?
So thank you, each and every one of you, for giving. Those that are watching online, go ahead and click and give. Go onto our website, ascendchurch.us. Just click on giving, and you can go ahead and do that. Father, I thank you for each and every person, man, woman, child, family represented here today, and those giving online. We thank you for faithful givers into the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father. Our theme this year is fit for the kingdom. And Father, as we do this, we do it for your kingdom's sake. We do it to extend the gospel. We do it to reach more people. We do it to be obedient to you. But we thank you in advance for the harvest of blessing coming our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead. Those ushers are going to pass the buckets by. Drop that in. If you're a guest, just drop your guest card in. And once we've done that, we'll get up. Let's just give them a minute.
I just wanted to mention that on Thursday, March 17th, we are having a youth interest meeting. We want to launch a youth ministry here at Ascend Church. And if you have a teenager, how many of you have teenagers? Wave your hand if you have a teenager, a young person. Wave your hand. Or you're the one I'm talking to. I want to encourage you to be at that meeting because we're going to talk strategy and also the young people. We're asking the young people to be there. We want to hear from you. We're going to talk some strategy. We want to get your ideas. We're going to give you our ideas. But it's been on my heart for some time. We must have ministry for the young people. And so on Thursday, March 17th at 7 p.m., at 7 p.m., please make a note. I'm asking all the parents, bring that teenager to that meeting because we're going to share with you what the vision is and what we're going to be doing to minister to the young people here in this church. So make a note of that. Amen? All those people who have come to me and said, Pastor Steve, we need to do this for the young people, the youth. You've come to me. Now I want you to be at that meeting. Amen? It's at 7 p.m. It's going to be at 7 p.m. on that Thursday. There's no prayer that week. I believe that works out right because we do pray every other week. So that's that Thursday. Ushers, are you all finished? Is everybody finished giving? We want to thank you for your faithfulness to give and support the kingdom of God. This church is funded by the offerings and the tithes of God's people, and we thank you. And the Word of God says that when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, God opens the windows of heaven and pours blessing. You see, when you take care of God's house, God takes care of your house. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you. It's amazing what happens when you put God first in your life, how miracles begin to take place. Stand up with me. Lord, we thank you today that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to redeem us. We thank you for our church family, Lord. And today we determine that we're going to reach out to anyone who's wandered from the truth. We're going to encourage them. We're going to reach out to lost people who don't know you. We recognize that we are your ministers, Lord, and we are available. We're going to not miss that any opportunity to reach out to people because we know that helping hurting people is the closest thing to your heart, Lord. And we know that whatever we do to the least, we do it unto you. I thank you, Lord, today that as we go home, that your angels protect us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide us. Thank you, Lord, for your favor that surrounds us this week. Thank you, Lord. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray for the people of Ukraine, Lord. We pray that you would help them. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you would be with them. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, Lord. We pray that this would be a time where people would be brought into your kingdom, where the gospel would go forth in a greater way than ever before. We pray what the devil meant for harm will be turned into good, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, help the people of Ukraine. Protect them and guide them in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week. Join us for water baptism. Have some birthday cake. We'll see you next time, everybody.